Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
Before we go into this book, I think you wanted to talk about some video games.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, so I wanted to just bring this up real quick, as quickly as we can.
Quick usually turns into a 10-minute segment for us, but...
Yeah, but that's fine. Yeah, whatever. So I recently figured out how to operate my RetroArch video game emulator. I downloaded it like months ago, and I moved some things around in certain files, and now it works. And so I was like, so I've been playing a lot of like random games on mm-hmm. there, you know, just because, you know, the thing is I always talk to Joe about this. I'm like, I'm always like, man, like, I wish I could just come over and just play video games and just play all these games and stuff. And I want to, you know, collect games or buy games. But I just want to play them. I don't want to actually collect them.
Yeah.
Because I see what you do.
I kind of wish I went your route. I think I'm going to switch to that route.
Well, I mean, you can easily, you know, do... I know that the option is you can get one of those retro trio machines.
Yeah.
And get, like, an emulator cart and just play games through that and just put all the stuff on one SD card, because, you know, because ROMs, it's amazing how small, you know, the game files are.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great. So right now I'm kind of just farting around with different, you know, with different games. And, you know, I've got TurboGrafx, I've got Sega Master System, you know, right now I just have NES, you know, I haven't really gotten to all the systems yet. But so I decided, though, I had like Sega Genesis. Well, and NES and all that. So I decided to try out, you know, a few wrestling games, see how I remember them. And a few of the games I played, one of them was WWF WrestleMania Challenge, which was the sequel to WrestleMania on NES. So this WrestleMania came out in 87, and this came out, like, I think in 90. And I remember that game being fun.
Yeah.
When I played it,
I remember it was cool because you could do a suplex.
You can do actually finishers.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually do the Rude Awakening.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing.
And the Warrior Slam.
Yeah. And I, for some reason, I cannot figure out how the fuck to do anything in that game.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm using a PlayStation controller, you know, plugged into my computer, and I haven't played those games in years, so I have no idea how to play any of this stuff. But yeah, it's hard. Like, actually, it's funny is, for the sake of simplicity, I decided to just be Hulk Hogan, and I fought Big Boss Man. And he just fucking picks me up and slams me down a whole bunch of times, hits me with this fat gut, because that's what...
Oh, yeah, he has a fat gut move in that game.
He has a fat gut move, because he's, you know, Boss Man, and he hasn't slimmed down yet. And, yeah, he just kicks my ass, and it's sort of frustrating.
Have you played as yourself?
No,
the character yourself.
You. Oh, yourself. That's right. Yeah, yourself.
There was yourself, and you could play as yourself. And like, the game mode was like, you just go through the entire roster, and when you beat everybody, you're the champion.
Yeah.
And then there's the same as like the tag team mode, where it's yourself and you team with yourself. And that's a two-player
mode. Oh, you don't get to team with another superstar?
No, you team with another person as yourself, but in different colored trunks. And then you go through the roster in tag team ranks.
Yeah, there was no, you know, how would you say, customization of sorts in these games other than that. That was actually a big step headed towards that, because I believe that, at least as far as I can remember, that was the first game to do that, at least first wrestling game that I played, mm-hmm. because WCW didn't do that in their game, which I downloaded and I have to play that.
It's bad.
I know it's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I'm tempted to find that. And
it's better than the first WrestleMania game. But other than that, it's better than King of the Ring, which is a god-awful abortion.
King of the Ring, I don't understand how they went from WrestleMania Challenge to King of the Ring.
Yeah.
That's like, it was like, that was, well, actually, no, they went from WrestleMania Challenge to Steel Cage Challenge to King of the Ring, and that was just awful.
Yeah, King of the Ring is terrible.
I had that for Game Boy, and that was a dumb game.
Yeah, just awful.
The sprites, I mean, everybody just looked awful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they shifted that way. But I
mean, the sprites wouldn't be a big deal if the gameplay was actually good, but the gameplay's terrible.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. So I played that, and I just fucking ate it, and I just got mad. And then I tried also... Well, I tried on Sega Master System the Steel Cage Challenge, which apparently they made.
I didn't even know they made that.
Apparently they made it. It was the one that they made that was came out like 92-ish.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't play the NES version of that. I played the WWF Superstars 2 on Game Boy, which featured Hogan, Savage, Sid, Mountie, and maybe DiBiase or Undertaker. Maybe DiBiase. Because I had both of those games for Game Boy. I had that, Superstars 1 and Superstars 2. Superstars 1 was actually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that for Game Boy?
I remember. I don't think I've ever played it.
It was just like you actually had like finishing moves you can do. And, you know, it was actually looked a lot better than the second game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the second game, you didn't have finishers. No. Yeah, I think Jake was in that game too. But the Steel Cage one was basically like the Nintendo version of that. Or whatever, I was playing that on Sega Master System, and I couldn't do shit.
Yeah.
And I was getting my ass kicked by, you know, because that was weird. It was weird because they had a bunch of guys in there, like, you just, because they're all the same wrestler. But it had, like, you know, IRS and Piper and DiBiase and Flair, and Tatanka was in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he made an appearance. Mountie was in it, and I was like, oh, that's cool, but really, they're literally the same guy. Like, none of them have
different. I have Steel Cage Challenge for the NES, and I don't think I've ever played it much. I think I put it in once, just played it, and I was like, oh, this sucks, and I never played it since.
I'm actually very glad that I never got that as a game, because that and, like, King of the Ring, because I'd be very upset by that.
Yeah, I have King of the Ring, too, and it's terrible.
I mean, I think by that point, I moved over to Sega?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, I definitely played, because I had the Royal Rumble as a kid for Sega.
Yeah, that was once that came out. And that was the superior game.
And you thought, like, as a kid, like, oh, this game is great. And then they followed it up with Raw, and that was good, too. And you're like, as a kid, like, this is really good. Then you go back and play it now, and it's like, wow, these games were really bad.
I don't know. I would actually, but I'm probably going to have to dip into Royal Rumble and Raw for those, because I used to like those a lot. Yeah. Maybe we'll see how I feel about those. But what I did do is for Sega Genesis, I tried Super WrestleMania for Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe this was the first of these games, because it was Super WrestleMania for NES, Super NES, and that had like Hogan and Road Warriors and Jake and I think Sid was in it. And DiBiase and the Natural Disasters, like all those guys. And the WWF or the Sega version, which came out later in the year, that had like Warrior and Papa Shango and IRS and British Bulldog and Shawn Michaels. And they actually had finishers or something to that point.
Yeah, it was funny how the Sega and Super Nintendo rosters were always different.
That's why I preferred the Royal Rumble version.
Yeah.
Because of in that one for Sega, it had Rick Martel.
Mm-hmm.
It had Hacksaw. And I think it also had Papa Shango as a special one.
Yeah, and Hogan.
Hogan wasn't in the regular one. That's right, because he came back. Because in the other one, that one had, I think, Tatanka. It had Flair. It had Crush. No, I think both had Crush. Maybe I'm trying to think. I think I had DiBiase as a special one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah, one of them had DiBiase and the other one had IRS. I think
IRS was in the Sega one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's the thing. I enjoyed playing that. I enjoyed playing that, so I'll have to dig into that and Raw. I remember, like, I liked Raw because the WWF Raw, because that had like special moves you can do. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Did you ever play the Steel Cage Challenge for Sega CD?
No, but I was actually thinking of trying to find that. Or was it Rage in the Cage, you mean?
Oh, yeah, Rage in the Cage.
Because
yeah.
That one, I know that one had the Head Shrinkers and the Nasty Boys in it.
I had that game as a kid, and that game was like, it had, before the match would start, they had voice clips of them talking trash to each other. And you could only have singles matches and steel cage matches. There was no tag teams, even though the Nasty Boys and the Head Shrinkers.
Yeah, because who wants to play as fucking Brian Knobs on a single? I don't know.
But, and then Howard Finkel would do all the ring announcing
before
the match would start. And it was actually, that was the first wrestling game with voice clips. So
Kamala was in that one, too.
Yeah, Kamala was in that one. Yeah. And he would just do his groaning for his taunt. So.
You know, I'll have to see if I can get a thing so I can play that, because I've always wanted to try that.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, the what the what the attraction is for me on those games is seeing a guys that I normally couldn't play as in those games. That's why when the roster comes out every year for the WWF games, I'm always very invested.
Yeah, it should be coming out like next week.
Probably right? Next week or so, because they'll probably announce at least the majority of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably find out well the DLC is going to be eventually. But that's where I'm invested, because I like finding when you can do the alternate outfits. Yeah. You can do, that's what I'm interested in. Yeah. I don't really care about, oh, we've got season mode. Who gives a fuck about, or actually I like season universe mode.
Yeah.
It's the fucking what is it? The start from the bottom in training center and then you work your way up. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Get rid of that. Fucking just give me that.
Or make it good.
Or don't even, or make it good, but make it do one so it could be retro. Give me an 80s option so I could do the territories and just go to gyms and TV studios and start as a jobber.
Like the Legends of Wrestling games did.
Yeah, do that. Fucking just make that. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what comes up with. And hopefully there'll be some, I know obviously the main roster additions will be, are fun. But I always like seeing what they can do as far as like the old school like download stuff. So like, we've talked about this before, because the Hall of Fame this year had Rock and Roll Express in it, so I'm kind of counting on there being a Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson in this game.
Yeah, gotta imagine they'd be in the game. Maybe the Midnight Express.
Yeah. Or give us something that's related to WCW, and give us some arenas. Just give us that, and we'll see.
Who else was in the Hall of Fame?
Well, Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Obviously,
yeah, he's the pre-order.
DDP.
DDP's
been in the game many times.
Yeah.
God, yeah. Who else did get inducted this year? Oh, was it not Medusa? Was it? No, that was the year before.
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah.
Was it Jacqueline? No, she was in the year before.
No, it was Beth Phoenix.
Oh, Beth Phoenix. Okay, she'll probably be in there.
Yeah,
she'll probably be in there with some Glamorella match.
Yeah,
or something probably put like a Candice Michelle, because I felt like that was like her big feud. That was like her and Candice Michelle had like a thing going for a couple of months, and then. Yeah, once Glamorella started. Oh God, who else? Yeah, who else was in the Hall of Fame? Was there like a international guy? It wasn't Stan Hansen. That was the year before.
No, who's the dead guy they inducted?
Oh, it was Rude.
Oh yeah,
and so Rude's been in there.
He's
a bunch.
Been in the game. Yeah.
I'm disappointed they never put Stan Hansen in the game, because they had the chance. They put Bruno in the game.
Yeah.
You know, put the old guy in the game. Put Stan Hansen in there.
Yeah,
you
have
fucking Larry in the game. Stan Hansen. Give us Stan Hansen. Give us a badass lariat.
Yeah.
Give us. I want digital chew. Falling from his mouth, and I want you to be able to slop the guy with your chew.
And if you're not going to put the Confederate flag on Michael Hayes' robe, then give him the other robes that he wore. Like, it just looks stupid with the stars without the bars.
Oh, that's right. I never noticed that.
Yeah, I hate it. It drives me nuts.
You know, they could have just gave him he had so many other clothes.
Yeah.
The Freebirds had so many other outfits. I mean, they did give you the leather jackets and the glasses for the Jimmy Garvin version, but... Which is weird that Jimmy Garvin's in there. I like that. His brain buster in that game is actually pretty spot on.
And what sucks is like you'll have a game like last year Haku was in the game, and then this year he's not, and it's like, what the fuck?
Well, that's what they would do. They put the guy in, they leave like his shit in there.
Just leave him in there and just add more guys. That's what I want. I don't want you to take guys away.
No.
Like, just keep adding guys. Like Fire Pro Wrestling. The PC version's out. It's going to come out for the PS4 soon, and like unlimited roster spots. Like it's just as big as your hard drive can handle.
Do I care about that game?
I love that game.
Do you really?
I
don't think I've really had enough experience with it. I played it, but it's never been a thing where I'm like, oh man, I really need to play it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I really like the creative player this year in the WWF game. And I'm hoping they add on to it, and so I can make some stuff, because I feel like I've done some awesome stuff, and I like playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wanted to commit myself every Sunday to having a big card and broadcasting it, but then lately I started playing Dark Souls 3.
Oh yeah,
that's a game's consumed all my spare time that I have. So no more WWE for me. I think
I don't know if I'm gonna play WWE. I'll probably just play like Wrath of Black Manta, which is a hard game. There's a lot. You know what? There's a lot of hard fucking games out there. I remember playing and being like, oh, this was a thing I played back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Hard as shit.
Isn't the Wrath of the Black Manta where you're a ninja?
And yeah, you're a ninja.
And everyone's like on drugs and you're trying to save kids.
You're trying to save kids and yeah. you're shooting druggies with ninja things. It's actually not bad. I have to figure out maybe a bit more how to play it better. Yeah,
because I have that game. I played it. I think I played it like one night. I came home and I played it and I haven't. So when you have so many games as I do, like you play it once and then that's it. So
yeah. Well, I'm playing that. I played what I played that I liked. There's a game I like, platformers. I think.
Yeah.
Because I like Power Blade.
Yeah, Power Blade's
Power fun. Blade's fucking fun.
Yeah.
Shatterhand is pretty good too. Shatterhand's
awesome.
And then there's
one called Kickmaster that's really good.
You know, I'm gonna have to look that up. I think that's on my list. But then also I've been playing a lot of space shooters.
Oh, okay.
So I've been playing a lot of Sega and like Nintendo ones. Star Force, it's a very simple space shooter from Tecmo, and it's fucking great.
Yeah, Star Force is good. Gyrus is one you should check out.
Gyrus 100%. Every time we go to 1UP here in LA, that's one of the machines.
The Nintendo version's awesome.
It is. It's actually much better.
Yeah.
I've realized that, and I've been messing around with that. And there's a few others that I've been looking into. And I'm probably going to, start digging into that, but there's some games I'm just like, I think I tried playing what was it called, Werewolf the Last Warrior. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, Werewolf is a good game.
I don't know what the fuck you're doing in that game, but that game sucks.
Another good game shooter wise is Gunknack. That's when you need to check
Gunknack. Yes, I've heard Gunknack. I have to get, and also on the TurboGrafx front, I've played Blazing Lasers.
TurboGrafx is, it's all shooters. Like, you can do a whole podcast on the shooters of TurboGrafx.
Except that they do have a few other platformers.
Yeah.
They have Keith, and I'm trying to figure this out because I was playing the pack-in game, the Keith Courage in the Alpha Zone.
Yeah.
Alpha Zones. I'm trying to figure out how the fuck to do anything, but I remember going to Child's World and playing that.
Yeah.
Because I used to have that up. So, yeah. But anyways, that's our video game talk. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And we talked about some wrestling stuff, so.
Yeah. Video games are cool. Dark Souls 3, if anyone's like listening and they're playing Dark Souls 3, I'm very terrible at it. So if you want to join my game, please hit me up on Twitter and I'll light the ember and have you help me level up because I need a lot of help.
I've heard it's a tough game.
It's very hard.
And there's a lot going on. That's why it scares me. I can't play those modern games. There's too much going on.
Yeah, but so much fun.
Well, I bet it is, but I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
It's just Wrath of Black Manta for me. Or G.I. Joe the game. That game's badass.
Yeah.
I played that a little bit. I'm going to keep going on that one because that one's fun. So, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about our book for the week.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed, so.
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we're back. So we got an interesting magazine here. It's Wrestling Fury from June of 93.
Yeah, so we don't do enough 90s books.
Yeah, and you're thinking 93. Okay, it's probably got like Hulk Hogan on the cover or Ric Flair or Bret Hart or The Undertaker. Those were the big names.
Or Sting.
Or Sting, yeah.
Vader or Luger.
Yeah, Luger, Vader.
Rude.
Those were the big names of 93, but not this issue. It doesn't even have, at that time, WWF or WCW wrestlers on the cover.
Yeah.
Which you're thinking, like, 93, what else is going on there? So you have Brian Christopher giving Jeff Jarrett a sleeper hold on the cover. And that's the cover of Wrestling Fury from June of 93.
Which has to be, I didn't look at the print date of this or when the print was stopped, but I feel like this goes all the way back to 92.
Yeah.
Like they haven't really, like it's just after like Yokozuna. Or no, sorry, wait, WrestleMania 9 just happened.
Yeah.
So, okay, so 90, So June, this is WrestleMania 9. So this is back, so March.
Yeah.
Although it feels like it's way behind. I'll just say that much. But, yeah, so Wrestling Fury on the cover here, and it's just a shot of Brian Christopher, who, by the way, has great facial expressions. Yeah. He's always had great facial expressions, and it's, you know, I feel like he really should have been a bigger deal than he was when he, outside of coming to WWF. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't really, I mean, granted, he's small, so he's not going to get where he probably could have, but he probably would have been really good in WCW.
If I'm a kid and I'm like seeing this magazine in Wegmans, I'm not even picking it up.
No, because who the fuck are these people?
Yeah, I'm like, who are these guys?
Technically, Jarrett's in WWF in this time, you know, but he's not.
Yeah, I don't.
He hasn't quite.
Has he gotten there yet?
He's almost there.
He wasn't at WrestleMania 9.
So. No, but he debuted that summer, I think, yeah. And then he was still. But at this point, when this probably was written. And all the stuff information was coming from, he really wasn't. He was still USWA. So anyways, the Wrestling Fury at the very top. More action than ever before. Hot damn. Those fantastic finishers, wrestling's deadliest moves. And then the only other thing on here, it says, exclusive report, the saga of WrestleMania X. Number 9. And that's it. And then nothing about why Jeff Jarrett and these guys are on the cover, you know, and Brian Christopher on the cover. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some, you know, basically all the pictures were taken in Memphis because we have a great picture here of Moondog Spike.
And he's eating cake.
Wait, is that Spike? Is that Spike? That's Spike. It's not, I thought that was Spot.
Whatever. They all look the same. All the Moondogs. But he's eating cake, which is what's great about
He's eating photo. Cake, and he has some really weird tattoos.
Yeah, he's got like a tattoo of like a woman's eye.
Half a woman's face. It looks like he just got it because it looks like that part shaved on his chest.
Yeah.
And then he has like a, I don't know what the fuck. It's like a griffin or something.
Yeah.
And then also, did you notice who does the credit here? The picture credit is by Tom Brokaw. The Tom Brokaw took this picture of Moondog Spike eating cake in Memphis.
Yeah.
The greatest generation.
It's chocolate cake with white frosting, in case you're wondering.
Delicious.
Yeah.
So this
actually does look pretty good.
Yeah. So basically, this is a not a Napolitano magazine, but this is from the Gems Inc. Family of magazines, which is basically this and Wrestling Eye.
Barbie Barker is the editor in chief.
Barker is the lady in chief. You know, and then you have editor in chief, and then you have Tom Brokaw, senior photographer. So, and Jeffrey Cohen, who's an editor, he has a lot of stories in this book, and Jeff Gorman. So it's very much, it's based out of Indiana, I think, even though their main office is in New York, but basically a lot of the stuff comes from the Midwest, which is very telling considering the coverage that's in this book and where it comes from. So, and there's a lot of like stuff in here that's like, hey, a lot of random editorial things in here, that stuff I can give two shits about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what's going on in this editorial here. It's nothing about wrestling. It's just like a random bold shit story. I also want to point out, this is one of my favorite things here. You can order yourself a year's worth of Wrestling Fury. Now, instead of the page being like a big picture of a wrestler and having the logo somewhere, it is a very tiny picture of an issue of Wrestling Fury, and the big font has 40% savings, and then it tells you where to send the shit. And it's just a very tiny issue. Tiny issue of what I thought originally was Sting.
Yeah, but it's the Warrior.
It's the Warrior somehow with his hair being swept some way. So it looks like he's got short. I thought, I was like, this is 1995 Sting looking, but no, that's Warrior, because there's like also talking about Papa Shango here. So it's a very weird design choice. So let's point that out. And then we just get some stories. It's really not, honestly, the stories aren't, they're definitely more kayfabe.
Yeah.
You know, but they're very, very much like, I've noticed that when the difference between the Victory Sports stuff, the Aftermags, and this stuff is that these stories are basically just like a recollection of events.
Yeah.
With a few like opinions thrown in, whereas a lot of the After stuff is a bit more, you know, it's more thought out and dramatized and, you know, put in different situations. Like, these are just like, yeah, so Marty Jannetty, Michaels and Jannetty breaking up is hard to do, and it's like Marty Jannetty came back and, you know, he was gone from here, and then he wrestled Shawn Michaels a bunch. And
the photographs, like, they're usually like like photographers usually get like ringside access and they're like right on the apron taking photos, whereas this guy looks like he's sitting in like the first couple of rows.
Yeah,
like I don't think they gave him credentials, and then he's just got to use the best like that he could do.
They're actually pretty good for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like something like I would probably take.
So like he had to wait for the wrestlers to like be the part of the ring where he's sitting at, because you see that Dutch Boy Paint logo in the background of all of them.
Oh yeah, yeah, good point.
And they're all in like the one side of the ring. So
Jeff Cohen,
yeah,
not getting the scoop.
Yeah,
and then we just have some, you know, yeah, there's a Dutch Boy, and then you got some cropping going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, just some stories about Sean and, you know, their breakup and stuff. And
which is interesting because the next article is 24 hours in the life of the photographer.
Who gives a shit?
Exactly. Like, why do I have to follow? Like, so you see Jeff Cohen and he's in his kitchen. He's eating Captain Crunch. And it's like, who gives a shit?
And there's just a bunch of things like here he is setting up for white testing. Here he is pulling his bags out of his car. Here he is doing, you know, a shot. Here he is taking that picture of the moon dogs.
And, yeah.
You know, and then it's just a lot of different, you know, tricks of the trade and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
You printed this, like, and it's like 4 pages long.
And then they have,
excuse me.
They have a photo of Jeff Gaylord eating cake.
Cause this is the cake. Apparently, it was Jeff Gaylord's birthday, I think.
Yeah.
Is it Jeff or is it the photographer's birthday?
Yeah, Jeff, happy birthday, Jeff, from your editors.
So it's Jeff the photographer.
Oh, okay.
So he went to Memphis to have his birthday party,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff Gaylord had some cake.
In wrestling, okay, because yeah,
the
wrestling.
Was he the Red Knight?
I'm not sure.
Because remember the knights, and he was one of the knights.
But the cake has Wrestling Fury's logo on it, and it's got a little camera. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice cake. That's a nice looking cake. Actually,
yeah.
That must
be the cake that Moondog Spike was eating.
Yeah, as I say, everybody's eating this cake.
Yeah, because Moondog Spike's in the bottom corner giving somebody a chair shot.
Yeah. So they had cake.
Yeah.
And then there's one of the cover items, the Fantastic Finishers, the Deadliest Moves in Wrestling.
You're not going to see JYD's thump on this.
No.
He's long gone.
He's long gone. It's a lot of all the modern stuff. So you have your submission holds. The layout on this stuff is just awful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Like, you have like all these different random fonts, and then you have like a caption that's really small some places, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Somehow the figure four is number four.
Yeah, it goes Cranial Crush, figure four, Boston Crab, which they point out that Rick Martel, he lost the title to the Boston Crab in 86, the AWA title to Stan Hansen in 86 using that move, so he decided to use it on for himself.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter, and then the STF, which they put over as
Masahiro Chono's
Maso move. Chono, yeah. And how great it is. And then they talk about some tag team moves or tag team wrestlers with individual finishers.
Yeah, like the Samoan Drop and the Frankensteiner.
They say they describe Rick Steiner's finisher as Waistlock Superplex.
Oh.
I'm going to assume that is a top the top rope belly to belly or the corner belly to belly,
because
that makes sense. I don't know why the hell you call it top. Well, I'm thinking like waist, like, is that a German soup? I don't remember ever doing that. Pinning moves, though, and this is basically the rest of it, and they just kind of go through a bunch of them. You got the Pile Driver, the Rude Awakening, the Beverly Bomb.
Yeah, which was a pretty sweet move.
The Beverly Bomb, they say that it's great, but it's very difficult for the Beverly Brothers to execute. And it doesn't translate into many big wins because they never really won matches. I don't remember them really winning anything significant outside of beating the Bushwhackers. Yeah. If they were lucky. Yeah,
I don't even think they beat the Bushwhackers because the Bushwhackers had Jameson in their corner.
I don't think who did they ever beat?
I don't think they beat it other than jobbers. I don't think they beat anybody.
I don't think that. Yeah, I can't remember. And that sucks because that's a great move. And second of all, I mean, come on. I mean, two blonde giant dudes.
Yeah,
can't get them over. I mean, that was the whole Hogan
genius.
Yeah, you can't fucking put them at. I think at some point they were supposed to maybe win the title, I think, but then maybe that got changed a bunch of times. I feel like everybody probably had a shot, but and then they also describe the head shrinkers, mm-hmm. Samu and Fatu, using their. This is what they're. This a move called the Samoan Squash. Which basically, if you remember, it's the stroke they would do. Remember how they would do the front, it's not really Russian leg sweep, but it was kind of
yeah.
like a forward Russian leg sweep. And then Powerbomb, Razor's Edge.
Razor's Edge, I think, should have been higher.
Razor's Edge, I feel like Scott Hall doing it is the only is the first person I've seen doing it.
You would think that, but there was another guy who we've talked about on this podcast before who used to do it, and his name was Al Perez.
No, he didn't do that.
He did that in the WWF. That was his finisher.
No. He used to. No, he did the spin it. He would spin the guy.
Oh.
It was similar, but he would spin the guy, I think. I'm pretty positive, unless if Al Perez is being more progressive than I thought.
If I could find footage of him, I would go back and look, but I don't think there is footage, and I don't care.
Al Perez, he could either be really cool or be really lame, because then either he's doing that, or he's doing, when I would watch him on NWA stuff, he's doing the step over toe hold.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look, I understand that it hurts, and I know it's a funk staple.
Yeah.
But I think that's a boring ass move.
Speaking of which, so I was looking at the Crockett Cup rosters, and I saw Al Perez competed in one of them.
Yeah, there was ADA probably.
But then there was a Crockett Cup. I actually made them a tag team, and they did very well in my Crockett Cup.
Mm.
Where it was Jimmy Valiant and Lasertron was a tag.
That was a team, yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's an amazing team.
I need to take. I actually was going to say that your Lasertron could have been much better.
It's terrible, but there's no way to make a decent Lasertron.
I think you can. I beg to differ.
If you can make a better Lasertron, by all means, do it.
I might do that. Yeah. I might take that challenge up. I might see if I could do that. Because I actually, did you know, so in SmackDown versus Raw, the first one of the SmackDown versus Raw,
mm-hmm.
so the one after Here Comes the Pain, I made a Lasertron.
Oh, okay.
And the key was making his skin silver and putting all the other parts on it. And then putting, kind of making the other parts that I needed to be flesh colored.
Oh.
That's how I did it. And he, it was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I'll have to see if I can, I gotta see what I can do. I think I could pull it
off. Yes, if anyone can make a because there's no Lasertron, you can't download one. Nobody's created one. So
maybe I gotta be that guy. Actually, by the way, thank you for inviting me to those communities.
Oh, yeah. PS10. So the one that we are in, that the one with the old 90s era, new generation era logo.
This is a WLF one?
Yeah. I think that one is run by the guy who roomed with the Big Moss.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember. Yeah. I remember him. No, yeah. I remember. I've always associated that with him because every time I see W, because I remember when I was, we would hang out with him and at this event. And this is when the one time that me and Joe got invited via the Big Mosh to go play WWE 12.
Yeah.
And this guy was there and he runs this World Legends Forum or something.
Wrestling Legends Forum.
Yeah. And it's a, it's a pretty big community if you're on those message boards or if you're on the PSN network and you're downloading wrestlers from the games. They're a big presence, and they he runs that, and I promoted my mod squad and my new breed. I have to upload it though. I haven't really been messing around.
Yeah, but he made a John Goodman one, and I said make him a King Ralph, and he did.
Nice.
So that was awesome.
Give him a crown.
But he needs to give him a King Ralph street clothes with the Green Bay Packers jacket. that's what he needs too. Like, he needs an alternate attire.
I like that. Actually, I like that. That's why I feel like we do the show. We understand each other on the show because we understand the importance of alternate attires and certain. That's why it's when they put guys like Michael Hayes in there, I'm like, okay, well, he's got short tights, but I gotta have long tights because that's what he would wear. And I gotta make it correct. So, and then Spike Piledriver, DDT. Actually, here's the thing. They called Undertaker.
Yokozuna, the setting sun,
which is basically just the Banzai Splash.
Yeah,
and I never heard of that. But anyway, and then the Tombstone Piledriver is number one. Some pictures of Ring Wars, WCW Ring Wars.
Tickets at the limit.
Yeah, just some pictures of the guy from his second row seat taking pictures.
Yeah,
gotcha. Got some. Actually, yeah, it was a match. Actually, kind of wouldn't mind seeing Rude. I think it's Rude and Vader against Steamboat and Douglas.
Wow.
Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Then you got Ron Simmons against the Barbarian.
Woof.
Yeah.
Barry Windham against Dustin. I've got some good matches here. You got Tony Atlas and Buff Bagwell, which Tony Atlas won apparently.
I forgot that Tony Atlas had a WCW run.
He did. He had a very short WCW run from like late 92 to early 93. He did that arm wrestling tournament, the Jesse Body and arm wrestling tournament, and then he went away. And then, so we got some, let's see, Ric Flair and Bob Backlund. I don't see any Ric Flair in this. Oh, no, here it's right here.
Yeah. No, there's, yeah, back to basics. They're talking about just like, getting back to wrestling, the way it was, and yeah.
So there's also this Head Shrinkers. It says Head Shrinkers, time to leave town. Like, why?
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, why are you yelling at the Head Shrinkers?
Yeah, they were actually putting on great matches, and their match with the Steiner Brothers is probably the best match of SummerSlam '93.
No, WrestleMania '93.
Yeah, WrestleMania 9. That's what I mean.
Here they are wrestling the Natural Disasters, and I think beating them handily, which I kind
of SummerSlam on the mind because it's coming up.
Yeah,
SummerSlam, feel the heat.
Feel the heat.
Returns.
So here's our ratings.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to get into these ratings too much because there's a lot of nonsense on here.
Yeah.
Because it's basically since this promotion, you know, this magazine is based in Indiana and it has a connection, I'm assuming, to a lot of indies and like USWAs around that area. It's very much heavy on that because the first ratings listed are IWA Championship Wrestling. And, you know,
oh my God, look who number one is.
Tommy Rogers.
But the tag teams, Thunderfoot 1 and 2. The Thunderfoots.
Hell yeah.
The number one rated tag team. Yeah.
Yeah, you got... Actually, it's a very interesting rating because there's a lot of guys in here that I didn't realize wrestled indie stuff. Like, so we got Intercontinental Champions Preston Steele, but he was in contention was Ivan Koloff, Diamond Dallas Page, doing some indie words. Patrick Tanaka.
Oh, Patrick Tanaka.
Yeah, Derek Dukes, the Terminator, and Big Cheese.
Yeah,
get ready for Big Cheese, guys.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like WCW guys in here. Like the Thunderfoot, you got your Ivan Koloff, you got your Cruel Connection, got the Von Erickson there for a try too. All right, Junkyard Dog, there you go. Then you have WWF. The only thing I want to point out here is in the tag teams, they got the tag teams, right? Champions, Money Inc., Steiners, Head Shrinkers, Beverly Brothers, Nasty Boys, High Energy, and at number six, Randy Savage and Crush. I don't remember them teaming that much.
The only time I remember them, like, even remotely being together was like, when Randy convinced him, yeah, go wrestle Yokozuna, and then Yokozuna like squashed him, and then he came out and injured Randy Savage.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. I don't remember him. I don't remember Kona Crush ever teaming up with Savage.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the natural disasters are not listed here, so I find that to be interesting.
Maybe Randy Savage and Crush had a match with the Natural Disasters and beat them.
Maybe
on a house show.
Maybe that's how they got on the ratings.
Yeah,
and then also in the tag teams for WCW, so the champions Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat, and then Hollywood Blondes, Wrecking Crew, which that's pretty high for the Wrecking Crew. Actually, shit, who are half of these teams? Why are they on here? I mean, I understand why in '92, late '92, these are on here because Wrecking Crew, that was like one of the Laurinaitis brothers and some other guy, and they're in for like a Clash of the Champions. And then you have Rock and Roll Express, Salinger and Shanghai Pierce. And then here's one that kind of threw me off. Davey Boy Smith and Brad Armstrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Davey Boy Smith he debuted at Super Bowl III, so he's already there. Why the hell is he teaming with Brad Armstrong? I thought he just basically just wrestled singles and just wrestled Vader and like hung out with Sting. Huh. I don't like it.
I don't like their tag team rankings at all. They don't make sense.
No, you got a bunch of other indie stuff here. You know, Midwestern Wrestling Alliance. Midwestern Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like their ratings.
A lot of random jobbers and guys that probably just had random spots in WWF. And
KC Knight was the Windy City Wrestling champion.
He was.
And Iron Sheik is number two.
KC Knight, actually, Dice Man Ronnie Vegas. If you remember watching AWF, Ronnie Vegas was a jobber that wrestled, I think it was Greg Valentine, and he did a forward roll and knocked his ass out, his own ass out. I remember that. You also have USWA, and you got the ladies champion, Miss Texas, a young-looking Jacqueline here. Also, I want to point out the tag teams in the USWA. You got the Moondogs, Harris Brothers, American Eagles, Masters of Terror, the Bounty Hunters, and the Dream Warriors. I got to say, the names in USWA are badass.
Yeah, those are good names.
Those are good names for tag teams.
It's funny how if you look at the USWA's top five, like, so you got Jerry Lawler and Brian Christopher in there. But so you have Jeff Jarrett, who's Double J, the Christmas Creature, who's Double C, Danny Davis, Double D, and Mike Miller, Double M.
Christmas Creature, of course, you know who that is.
Is that Kane?
That's Kane.
Yeah.
Kane, somehow Kane. So this has to put this around because I can't imagine him being around past Christmas. So this has to be around. They have to obviously put in December in here too. So, but yeah, that's these ratings. These ratings are just a mess.
Yeah, I don't like them.
And then we get ourselves
got a crossword puzzle.
WCW crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and do that. And then we have the editor.
The Honeymoon in Vegas, the saga of WrestleMania 9.
Who cares?
So, yeah, just some photos of the editor, like, trying to get to Caesar's Palace, and his car is broken down on the, it looks like in the middle of nowhere.
It's like where they filmed one of those scenes from The Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently he met Mount Fuji from Glow or something. I don't know. He's just talking shit about Vegas. And then we get to some color stuff. Which is weird because it goes one half of his article is in black and white, and then the other half is in color.
Yeah.
But it's actual wrestling pictures that are in color.
Yeah.
These don't look like it's from WrestleMania 9, though.
No, I don't see the proper ring.
Well, I definitely, yeah, because it definitely, this looks like it's in an actual arena, like this picture of Yokozuna throwing salt.
Yeah, because didn't WrestleMania 9 have the gold ropes?
I don't know if it had gold ropes, but definitely you could tell, like, the decor.
Yeah.
So, and then here's the centerfold. Now, if you weren't disappointed by the cover, the centerfold is a picture of a guy named Dallas Parker.
He's a cowboy.
He is a cowboy.
And he's got a silver, like, jacket, like, and it's, but what's funny about this photo is he's got a big, giant bunny next to him.
He's got a big giant bunny, and he looks like he's roping it, but he's also like
he's
like
resting his arm on it.
The bunny, for some reason, has that Easter grass on it.
Oh, wait, it's a guy in a bunny costume because he's on his knees, and then you can see the glove. Yeah, that's a guy in a bunny costume. What the hell is going on?
You should hang this up right next to the Shawn Michaels one.
I think I am. Yeah, because I was starting to create a set because I figured we'd be on camera, and then I just didn't feel like taping.
I don't know what the fuck. And he does. This guy pops up later in the book.
Yeah,
as part of like the Midwestern thing that they cover.
You're right; that doesn't need to be hung up.
But this was just basically this guy being like, "Oh, I took this picture and it's funny. Let's use it to sell our magazine."
Yeah.
And then you got actually even better picture of Ted DiBiase doing he got close this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then who will be the next heartbreaker? So they're talking about who might beat Bret Hart. I didn't really read this. I didn't really read any of these articles because basically they're just like,
yeah,
this guy. And then we get to talking about this guy.
The big cheese. Good guy gone bad.
So actually, Sal Corrente is the guy they're talking about here. And Sal Corrente you may not know the name, but he's kind of like this guy that's based out of like one of those New York guys that's was always involved with the WWE, the indie scene. Like, he's got a picture here with the Grand Wizard. And he looks exactly the same. Well, maybe he's a little bit younger. But apparently, he was a referee in the IWA. And then he became, like, a manager. And now he's managing the Thunderfoots.
Yeah, the Thunderfoots. Yeah.
Managing the Thunderfoots. And he's mixed up in it. And Sal Corrente, like, I think he... Maybe I'm thinking mixing up with somebody, Evan Ginsberg, who is somebody that like he managed or used to work with Bruno Sammartino or something to that effect. But yeah, it's just an indie, which is great. Actually, this is very on brand for like a Wrestling Eye type of magazine because talking about an indie manager that nobody knows about and dedicating a 2 pages to him. Like,
yeah.
What's he doing in that picture?
It's funny because he's with the Thunderfoots, but they have they say that he's expecting the Rat Pack.
Rat Patrol.
The Rat Patrol to go straight to the top.
Well, that's what I think he calls all of his guys. I think it's the Rat Patrol.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then we have some candid photos here. Or not candid, they're just basically posed wrestling photos and they just do funny captions.
Yeah, so you have, I don't even know how to start. But there's one where Rick Steiner is biting, who's that?
It looks like Tracy Smothers. Yeah, he's biting his ass.
Now that's taking a bite out of your opponent.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah.
This is dumb. I don't like it. Why'd they do this?
I don't like this at all.
I don't even know what this picture is of here. This guy looking with a dad bod, dude. You know.
Yeah, is that Paul Heyman?
I don't think that is that Paul Heyman?
Yeah, I think it is. And he's just got no shirt on. He's flexing. But anyway, it looks like him.
It's Paul Heyman's in worse shape than that guy.
Yeah. Well, now he is. Yeah.
This guy looks like, I don't know what the hell's going on there. It looks like basically if Southeastern Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Like he's the champion. And then we get some stuff about Louisville, you know, some USWA action in Louisville, a lot of pictures of Jerry Lawler, or Brian Christopher and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, they're wrestling each other, and that must be where they got the cover shot.
That's right. Yeah, where else you could get it?
Missed last month's action, then they got the Basque issues, and then they got Battle of the Bods, and Johnny B. Bad, and he's wrestling a young Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, that's my buddy.
Yeah.
My buddy Raven. I read through this article and it doesn't make I think it's because at this time they were doing things where they're challenging each other for like boxing matches too. And they're like, oh, you guys should just wrestle, blah, blah, blah. And then we get some WWF in Dayton.
So yeah, more shots from these shots look like they're from like the middle rows. They don't even look like front, like first couple rows.
I think this is also from a TV taping because yeah. I feel like there's like a bunch of jobber matches in here. Like part of me wants to think this is Owen Hart, but it's not.
I think it's Dwayne Gill.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah, he's getting tossed by the big boss man. So, yeah. So, you know, we got a bunch of matches here. And then you got, yeah, Kitaka beating the jobber match. And
The Undertaker and Paul Bearer are putting somebody in a body bag.
Is this actually Damian Demento? Who is that?
Yeah, I think that is Damian Demento.
Damian Demento getting the squash. Is that
Jeff Gaylord he's wrestling?
Yeah, and then actually, well, here's one of those phone lines.
Yeah.
But did you read through some of these, some of the things that they tell you can learn if you call? So it says, why is Hollywood kicking Hogan's butt worse than any wrestler ever did? Hulk's battle to become a movie star. You'd know if you called, blah, blah, blah. What wrestler slipped an animal laxative in his Coke on a nonstop flight to Japan? Or what wrestler was slipped an animal laxative? You'd know if you called, blah, blah, blah. Wait, you'll hear why some wrestling stars are scared to death of some of those lusty, busty ringside groupies. Which wrestler fell sound asleep in the middle of a match using the turnbuckle for a pillow? Actually, I want to know that.
But this magazine makes me want to use a turnbuckle for a pillow. And go to
and then we get their questions page. We got a picture of Owen with Martha. Martha looks really hot here.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And their kid, one of their kids.
These are also the worst questions because they're not just like kayfabe questions. They're people like, what's Jimmy Hart's birthday? Here's his birthday. Thank you. Who gives a fuck? I mean, like, seriously. That's it. How many kids does Rick Steamboat have? He's got one. He's got Richie. And then there's a stepdaughter. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's why they put the photo in there. Dear Barbie, Owen Hart is my favorite wrestler. I know he and his wife have a baby boy. I would like to see a photo of him. Sure hope you can help.
Fucking creeps. Creeps.
That is creepy.
It is creeps. And then you get some NWA, the Midwestern Wrestling Alliance. And then this is where you get our buddy here, Dallas Parker, doing...
there he is. Dallas Parker.
Yeah, and then you just got a bunch of...
And TJ Powers.
Yeah. TJ Powers.
And he made their own dirty deal in Indianapolis. And the Mountaineer takes a bite out of his opponent. A lot of biting in this magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of biting. A lot of unsafe biting and people taking deals. Look at this guy here.
Yeah, exchanging hands.
I think it's Rob Van Dam giving him money.
Looks like it, yeah.
And I think we're almost at the end here. Can we be at the end? Oh, Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Plotting her next move.
Is she doing a Hulk Hogan here?
Looks like it.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
She's plotting her next move.
And picture Missy in your mind.
Missy's got I'll just say here, this picture here makes Missy look like she has gigantic tits.
And a smile will come to your face.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you see her in her deep red lace over a Madonna-inspired bra, or in a black leather complete with silver chains over a Madonna-inspired bra, her image is enough to stay trapped in your minds forever. And they just talk about Missy Hyatt, what she did, and, whatever.
She's a person.
There she is with Eddie Gilbert, and they made quite a duo. And then underneath it, there's leather and lace boxing.
Yeah.
And then another photo, there's Jeff Gaylord.
Yeah, this is a very, like, very... Very
he's blowing
intense.
A kiss.
It's a very intense end to this magazine.
He's blowing us a kiss.
He's blowing us a kiss because these guys are wacky. And look at that.
This was the worst magazine I think I ever bought.
Ah, okay, what is this here, too? Who are these women?
Women of Wrestling, a sure winner. Check it out now.
I don't know who they are.
So this what was our previous worst magazine? It was the new. It was New Age Wrestling
or was it New Wave?
I think the one with Bam Bam Bigelow on the cover.
Probably New Wave.
That New Wave, yeah.
Or was it? No, it wasn't TV Wrestlers.
No, that
TV Wrestlers was good.
Yeah, that was good. This is awful.
Yeah,
this is like the worst wrestling magazine I've ever read.
I do want to say though, they have some issues of this magazine back in like the mid-80s.
Yeah.
I do want to read those.
Okay.
I want to see what kind of indie-rific randomness they're bringing to talking about in these books.
Yeah.
Back then. Because this is the 90s and I kind of feel like it's, meh, whatever. You know, but I want to see some 80s ones of this. So if you come across any 80s ones of this, we'll have to pick these up. At least pick one up. I want to try one.
I haven't been really looking on eBay lately for magazines because we got a little backlog. We do have a backlog.
But that's it for Wrestling Fury.
Yeah, sorry if like this podcast June 93. Was just us like, oh, this is boring. But this is a really bad magazine.
We do this for you. This is the whole point of the book. Of the show.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. This is just god awful.
Just a lot of wrestlers eating cake.
It makes me wish I had a issue of Wrestling World and I can go back and read some Stately Wayne Manor stuff.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Shout out to Stately Wayne Manor.
Or some Eddie Ellner stuff.
Or George Napolitano.
Yeah. I need some heel stuff. Because, who cares about the life of the photographer? Really?
I don't.
Like, oh, my God.
I don't.
Jeff takes a light meter reading to make sure the background is proper.
Yeah, what about wrestlers?
Yeah.
Let's talk about those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do have a VHS of Leilani Kai and Allison Royal that they're trying to sell.
Why is that? Did she do those kind of videos? I feel like it's not, but it is.
They actually, it's one of those girl wrestling tapes, but they have real wrestlers. So I feel that they just
marketed it that way.
They just marketed that way, and they probably just had them wrestle in a match with just on a ring in an empty arena somewhere.
Probably.
I don't understand it. I don't care. The tapes are $35 each, and they're approximately 30 minutes. So you're not even, it's more than a dollar a minute for those.
That's an awful deal.
That is an awful deal.
It's a terrible deal. Why would you ever buy that?
Ah, don't buy it.
Don't buy it. Don't go back to 93 and buy this, guys.
No. So that's it for Wrestling Fury.
June 93. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for this. Yeah, sorry about this one.
Oh, this is fine. We had a good wrestling video game conversation.
Yeah,
earlier.
We sure did.
We made up for it.
Yeah, if you're still listening, find me on Twitter at SweatpantsJoe and at Instagram at SweatpantsJoe.
And I'm at AngryHeroSean on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, find us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, I Can Talk Kayfabe, or just subscribe to it and rate it wherever you get your podcast, Stitcher, wherever it is that it's up. So
I'll tell you what I'll do, because I want more people to rate us on Apple Podcasts. We got to try to grow it. So rate us on Apple Podcasts. As soon as we get 50 five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts, I will pick a random person and send them a T-shirt of our podcast.
Nice.
So yeah, let's get this contest going. Let's get some five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts.
Hell yeah, let's do that. If you give us 5 stars, if you think we deserve it, I think we do.
Those of you who already rated it, thank you very much. You will also be included in the contest.
Yes, you will.
Although, I think most of you already own a T-shirt, but you're included, so you'll get another T-shirt.
And of course, go on Facebook and find us there and interact with us on I Can Talk Kayfabe on Facebook. So that would be dope. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.